श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौड़ भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मैया की जय। यमुना मैया की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। सामवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। पतित पावन हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। गॉड प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो 11th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 48 द बी पार्ट ऑफ इट। सो इन एडिशन टू फिलोसॉफिकल और इंटेलेक्चुअल अंडरस्टैंडिंग प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस ऑल्सो अवॉर्ड्स ऑल अदर बेनिफिट्स इन लाइफ बोथ मटीरियल एंड स्पिरिचुअल। देयरफॉर one who for any purpose whatsoever accepts a process other than devotional service has unfortunately misunderstood the nature of pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. It is emphasized here that one must cultivate devotional service in the association of other devotees. On the other hand, the Jnana Yoga process is cultivated alone because it is difficult for even two mental speculators to be in the same place without their association degenerating into constant quarrel. Other processes of self-realization are compared to the nipples on goat's neck. They look just like breast nipples, but they will not give any milk whatsoever. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted the following verses spoken by Sri Uddhava. तापत्रेण बिहतस्य घोरे संतप्यमानस्य भवाग्धनीश पश्यामि नान्यत् शरणं तवांग्री द्वंद्वम् आतपत्रात् अमृताभिवर्षात्। माय डियर लॉर्ड, फॉर वन हु इज बीइंग क्रुएली बर्न्ड इन द ब्लेजिंग फायर ऑफ मटेरियल मिजरीज हैविंग फॉलन इनटू द नेटवर्क ऑफ मटेरियल एग्जिस्टेंस आई डू नॉट सी एनी अदर पॉसिबल शेल्टर besides your two lotus feet, which are shower of nectar extinguishing the fire of suffering.
Samsara sindhum ati dustaram utishyo nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya lila katha rasa niveshanam mantarena punso bhavet vivida dukkhadav arditasya.
Material existence is like an ocean that is extremely difficult to cross. The conditioned souls have fallen into this ocean, which is not cool, but rather burns them with the fire of misery. For one who has fallen into the sea and desires to get out, there is no other rescue boat except the constant relishing within oneself of the pastime of the narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
किं वा योगेन सांख्येन न्यास स्वाध्यायरो अपि किं वा श्रेयोभिर अन्यासि च न यतिरात्मा प्रदो हरिः। what is the use of the yoga system, philosophical speculation, mere renunciation of the world or Vedic studies? In fact, what is the use of any so-called auspicious process without Lord Krishna, who is the source of our very existence? As is stated in this verse, it is generally prayana, impossible to escape material bondage without devotional service in the association of devotees. One can simply imagine the probabilities of liberation in Kali Yuga without the Krishna consciousness movement. The chances are certainly zero. One may concoct a type of liberation on the mental platform, or one may live in the so-called spiritual society of mutual flattery. But if one actually wants to go back home, back to Godhead, and see with spiritual eyes the beautiful kingdom of God called Krishna Loka, one must take to Lord Chaitanya's movement and worship Lord Krishna in the association of Bhaktagana, the devotees of the Lord. I did not read the verse because I think it has been done before. So those of you who want to read, chant, you are welcome. I didn't do it because I thought it was done the other day.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagradatam Gagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikakanta Radhakanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyacha Krupa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
I'll read the translation of the verse. My dear Uddhava, I am personally the ultimate shelter and way of life for saintly liberated persons, and thus if one does not engage in my loving devotional service, which is made possible by associating with my devotees, then for all practical purposes one possesses no effective means for escaping from material existence. So the beautiful verse. So first of all, I beg for blessings of all the Vaishnavas, exalted devotees sitting in this temple hall, so that I can present at least partially what the glorious disciples of Prabhupada wanted to convey through this purport. So the verse that we are discussing today is from Uddhav Gita. Now, as you know, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna, who was a dear devotee of Krishna. Bhakto Simi Sakha Chesi. He also happened to be his cousin, being the son of Kunti Devi, who is the sister of his father Vasudeva. So, Uddhav Gita was spoken to Uddhava.
Uddhava also happens to be the cousin of Lord Krishna. So both the Gitas were spoken by the Lord to their cousin. So he was the son of Deobhag, who is the brother of Vasudev. Now Uddhava is a great exalted devotee. Actually he was already an exalted liberated person when he advented on this earth. So Uddhava is also the first cousin, as I mentioned, of Sri Krishna, but a great devotee and a friend and a counselor, and so exalted that he was able to participate in the end pastimes of the Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna wanted to go back home to his own abode, at that time Uddhava was one of the persons who was there, very much there, with whom the Lord Krishna shared his, you know, all his feelings. So the close person, as you know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was an excellent counselor. It was he who advised the Supreme Lord that when Jarasandha was to be defeated, it is he who said that don't try to take your army there, you just go with Bhima and Arjuna and you go yourself and challenge him for a fight and you can kill him that way. So a wonderful advisor, wonderful, you know, person, devotee, and he was so much attached. It is described in other pages of Bhagavatam that right from childhood he was so much attached to Lord Krishna that he would all the time think of Krishna, all the time he would play with Krishna dolls. So much so, his absorption was so much that there are verses in which it is described that his mother would call him for, you know, prasad, and he would not go. He was so involved, so deeply involved, even as a child. So that his absorption in Lord Krishna grew, and later on it developed into a wonderful, you know, ocean of devotion for the Supreme Lord. So that is Uddhava, not at all an ordinary personality, a great person. Such was his attachment to Lord Krishna that when he came to know through Lord Krishna that Krishna was planning to, you know, terminate, you know, the Yadu dynasty and also go to his own abode, he was so miserable, so much afflicted, that in a beautiful verse it is described, Naham tava angri kamalam kshanardham api keshava tyaktum samutsahe natha swadhama nayamam api. So he was so much overwhelmed when he came to know that the Lord was going to leave him and he was going to experience separation from him. So he says, Naham tava angri kamalam kshanardham api keshava. He says that I cannot leave the association of your lotus feet even for a kshana, even for a moment, O Lord. Therefore, swadhamam naya mam api. So please take me also along with you when you are planning to go to your abode. Now this is just like a child, you know, begging of his mother. Mother wants to go, you know, somewhere to the market or some shopping, and the child, you know, keeps on, you know, pulling at her sari, says, "I also want to come. I also want to come." It is in the same spirit of tender love and affection for the Lord that Uddhava is saying. In his heart of his hearts, he must have known that he cannot go, but nevertheless, it is so tender, such a tender verse in which he says that, Swadhamam naya mamapi, please take me also. Now that is Uddhava. So Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna by Lord Krishna when he was in a mood of despondency. Here also there is a lot of despondency, but in another situation where Uddhava has come to know that the Lord, you know, is soon going to depart and going to his own abode. So this is another spirit in which, you know, he is crying for his association. So in the pages that I already discussed earlier by other speakers, Krishna has described both to Uddhava the characteristics of both Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So the perils of Jnana Yoga were, I believe, described by Sri Rama Sakha the other day. Prabhu, I was not present. I was in another situation. I was attending the ISKCON, you know, that course, ISKCON disciple course, so I could not come and attend. So he discussed, you know, he discussed the perils of Jnana Yoga. So here the Lord is very explicitly telling us that it is the real means of totally freeing oneself from the miseries of material existence is only by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Very explicit. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita also he talks of many other yoga systems, but here he is emphasizing that Bhakti Yoga is the way of, you know, getting rid of, you know, our material existence. So he is making actually a vital point, that devotional service blossoms and fructifies in association of devotees. So Bhakti Marga, not just Bhakti, but in association of devotees. That's very, very important. So Sangha is very, very important. So on the other hand, what is Jnana Yoga? In Jnana Yoga, it is cultivated alone. You are alone. And it is troublesome. So Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, Kleshaha adhikastara tesham avyaktasakta chetasam. Kleshaha adhikataraha. There is more klesha when you try to follow the path of Jnana Yoga. Avyakta hi gatir dukkham dehavadbhir avapyate. So when you try to pursue the path of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, is not condemning Jnana Yoga. After all, it is also a process, important process. But he is saying that there is a lot of klesha, a lot of, you know, problems in that. So better, he is recommending that you take Bhakti Yoga, but he is not condemning Jnana Yoga, because there is also a path going back to him. So, avyakta hi gatir dukkham dehavadbhir avapyate. So, for those whose minds, you know, are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very, very troublesome. Why? Because we are in a body and so we cannot easily relate to something which is avyakta. So, therefore, Krishna compassionately is telling us, he is not condemning Jnana Yoga, he is compassionately telling his devotees that please, you know, take up the path of bhakti. That's what he is saying. So Srila Prabhupada comments that the process of Jnana Yoga, although ultimately bringing one to the same goal, is very troublesome, whereas the path of Bhakti Yoga is easier and natural. It comes naturally. We can very easily relate to the deities on the altar. They have agreed to manifest, the Lord has agreed to manifest Himself in the deity form, and we can easily relate to Him. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga is easy. So, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada write that in the purport, that even for two, you know, mental speculators who are, you know, pursuing Jnana Yoga, it is extremely difficult for them, you know, to get along. So, normally, therefore, one has to pursue it alone. Why? He says that when two, you know, mental speculators, jnanis, get together, it always degenerates into some kind of a quarrel or some kind of an argument. So, the Mahabharata describes in verse, Tarka apratishtaha shrutaya vibhinna, na asa rushi yasya matam na bhinna. So, no two rushis, you know, will also have identical, you know, thinking about a particular spiritual principle. Matir bhinna, they will always, you know, argue with one another. Therefore, in the Mahabharata, it is advocated that we follow the path of the Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gatastha panta. Because even a sage is not considered a sage unless he writes something, unless he propounds something uniquely different. If he is, you know, pursuing, you know, he is adding more, you know, to what already somebody has discussed, he is not considered to be a rishi of that spiritual caliber. So he is to be made of some other fiber where, you know, he comes out with something new, something unique. So that is jnana. So troublesome. So don't pursue it. So dry arguments are inconclusive. So a great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. So to be able to leave your mark, as they say, you have to be different. Uniquely different. So, speculative knowledge or even transcendental knowledge for that matter must bring one to the point of loving devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is fundamental, that is very, very important. Otherwise, it is useless. So, in the purport Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, you know, he quotes three verses which are very, very crucial for our understanding. So the three verses are respectively from Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad quotes, that these three verses are from by Uddhava, Sukadev Goswami and Narada Muni. So all three of them talk about material existence and what is the way to get out of it. So the three verses are like this. We will discuss them little in detail.
Tapatrayena abhihatasya ghore santapya manasya bhavadvanisha pashyami nanyat charanam tavangri dvandva atapatrat amrutabhivarshat.
This is a verse spoken by Uddhava. Actually, it will come up later in the 19th chapter, but it is quoted here, so therefore we are discussing. It will come in the 19th chapter of the same Srimad Bhagavatam canto. So, this is a verse spoken by Uddhava. He says that, my dear Lord, for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. So, on one hand, it is being told to us that how miserable this world is, you know. It is tapatraya, you know, the three types of tapatraya, adi, all those miseries. Abhihatasya means one who is tormented, who is tortured. So, ghore means, you know, extremely troubled. We say this is ghore Kali Yuga. So, ghore, it denotes, you know, extreme torture. So, for one who is here in this material world and who is, you know, who cannot escape the tapatraya, they are there, we can't escape them. For him, you know, he says, Uddhava says that, there doesn't seem to be any other way, no other way of, you know, getting out of this world, save and except to take shelter of your lotus feet. Dvandva atapatrat amrutabhi varshat. So, devotional service unto you is like, you know, is the downpour of nectar, amrutavarsha. So, that is what we can get when we enter into devotional service. So, other than your two lotus feet, O Lord, there is no other, you know, escape for people who are completely overwhelmed by the threefold miseries. We sing every day, Samsara Dava Nalalida Loka Tranaya Karunya Gana Ganatvam. He says that unless, you know, we are overwhelmed by so many miseries, O Gurudev, so unless there is a shower of mercy from you, there is no escape for us. Same written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur only. So, this is where. So, Uddhava is making a statement that in this miserable material world, actual happiness is obtained by surrendering to Lord's lotus feet. Atapatra is an umbrella, you know, it's an umbrella which we use when there is rain falling. But here it is used in another way, that it is described that when incarnation, I was trying to see, when incarnation of, you know, Godhead, Prithu Maharaj, when he was being crowned, Vayudev made him a gift of an atapatra, which was, you know, constantly, you know, showering, you know, tiny beautiful droplets of water, which kept the whole, you know, atmosphere cool. Now, when we go for some reception, some marriage function, sometimes when you enter, you know, there is a spray of, you know, water. Maybe this perfumed, I have no idea. But generally, that small little spray of water keeps on falling on you. It makes you very comfortable. You have gone, traveled by railway, you know, train, and you are sweating and you are fuming, and then you go to that reception, and then when you enter, that spray. Very nice. Okay, we have gone through so much trouble, but it was worth it after all, you know. We have got this spray. So similarly, the demigod Vayu presented Prithu with an umbrella that constantly sprayed fine particles of water, and that made Prithu Maharaj very happy. So the Lord's lotus feet are similarly compared here to a wonderful umbrella
that produces a constant shower of delicious nectar, the bliss of Krishna consciousness. The nectar is the bliss of Krishna consciousness. That is the bliss that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Without our deserving, he has given us this bliss of Krishna consciousness. So this which we have to accept only. So in the purport it is described in the that normally speculative analytical knowledge, it terminates in impersonal conception of absolute truth. But in the so-called bliss of merging with the impersonal spiritual existence, it can never be compared to even a tiny drop of, you know, the pleasure, the bliss that we get in Krishna consciousness. So once you merge into the so-called impersonal Brahman, after some time you wonder what you have to do now with yourself. What you have to do? You again come back to the material world and get engaged in so many other activities. Prabhupada has written in so many places his purport. So abhihatasya in this verse, it indicates that one who is being defeated on all sides by the onslaught of material nature. Material nature can, you know, attack you from all sides, every side. So, but that Krishna also has given us a solution. He has created the material world, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. But at the same time, he has also provided us with a solution. And what is the solution? There is a downpour of, you know, nectar that eliminates all problems of material existence. So, as it is said that when there is a forest, you know, blazing forest fire, it is very difficult to extinguish it, very difficult to quench the fire. But when there is rain, you know, that rain can, you know, quench the fire. Fire extinguishers don't help, you know, so all types of effort can be made. But once the forest fire is raging, nothing can happen. Similarly, we are in this material world. We are, every now and then, every moment of our life, you know, we are facing so many problems. And that being, you know, tossed about, being burnt, you know, on this side, that side, that can be only prevented by taking the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So the second verse quoted is by Shukdev Goswami. The second verse is Samsara sindhum ati dustaram uttitasho nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya lila katha rasa niveshana mantarena punso bhavet vivida dukkha dava arditasya. So arditasya is again one who is troubled extremely by material things. So a person who is suffering in the fire of miseries, dava is fire of miseries, who desires to cross the insurmountable ati dustaram ocean of material existence, there is no boat except that of cultivating devotion to the transcendental taste for the narrations of Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes. So, no other alternative. So, although it is not possible to completely describe all the pastimes of the Lord, even partial appreciation of a pastime of the Lord can free one us from the unbearable miseries of material existence. So when we come to the temple, Radha Gopinath Mandir, and when we hear, you know, pastimes of the Lord, for some time at least, you know, if we are hearing attentively and not dropping off to sleep, we can, you know, absorb ourselves in that pastime and temporarily experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. It may not leave a stamp of happiness on your consciousness, but at least for that period when we are in the association of bhaktas and we are hearing the beautiful pastimes of the Supreme Lord, we are favorably impacted with the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. So that's very, very important point that will be made here. So the fear of material existence can be removed only by the medicine of the holy name and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which are perfectly narrated in Srimad Bhagavatam. So why is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, why is it important for us to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and also read Srimad Bhagavatam? Because this is the way, the only way by which, you know, we can rid ourselves of all fears of our material existence and take shelter the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So finally Chakravarti Pad quotes a verse which Narad Muni spoke to the Prachetas. So Prachetas are the sons of Prachinibarhi, and Narad Muni, you know, talked to them.
Kimva yogena sankhena nyasa swadhyaya yorapi kimva shveyo bhiranyascha na yatratma prado harihi.
This is in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here it is said that the transcendental practices that do not ultimately help one realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead are useless. So all the struggle, all the effort that we make, you know, on the spiritual path, they are useless if we cannot realize, if we cannot, you know, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are all useless. They may be, you may be performing mystic yoga, you may be, you know, very brilliant in analytical study of the Shastra, Sankhya Yoga or something like that. You may be performing severe austerity. You may have accepted sannyas, or you might have studied Vedic literatures extensively. But if all these, you know, do not take us to the transcendental worship of the Supreme Lord, we are not really making any progress whatsoever. So all these may be very important aspects of spiritual advancement, but unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, all these processes are useless. So these are the comments made by the disciples of Prabhupada. So therefore we can understand that in this life, material life, we have been placed in this material life. It's not that, you know, we are just, of course, we have come here because, you know, we wanted to dissociate from the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, but eventually we are here in this, and we are hardly in control of things that are happening around us. We are not in control of what is happening within our own body, what to speak of, you know, the circumstances in which we are placed. So the only course left to us in this material world, where, you know, intellectual study of scriptures is really next to very difficult to do. So only course which is open to everyone, he may be an intellectual or he may be an ignorant person, the only course left to is, you know, to take shelter of Guru, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. We have that famous oft quoted example of the, you know, Brahmana in Srirangam, who, you know, was reading Bhagavad Gita, but who was not erudite at all. He was being, you know, laughed at by all other Brahmanas. They were saying they are ridiculing him. But he had such intense, you know, faith in the words of his Guru, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him and hugged him, he said that, you know, he asked him, you know, you don't understand what you are reading, but how is it, you know, that tears are flowing from your eyes? What is the reason why you are crying? What is it that makes you cry? So at that time he says that, you know, when I see the Supreme Lord, out of devotion, he says, when I see the Supreme Lord, you know, doing seva for his devotee Arjuna, tears automatically start flowing from my eyes. I just can't understand how compassionate Krishna is. So at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him, you have understood the true purport of Bhagavad Gita. So when we read Bhagavad Gita or when we read any scripture, if it does not generate love of God in our heart, then that endeavor becomes, you know, shrama eva hi kevalam. So it becomes just shrama, it becomes a labor. So therefore, if you understand how important Krishna bhakti is, and how important is association of devotees. One important point which is brought out here in this purport is that it is not just devotion, it should be association of devotees is extremely important. Without association, we cannot get anything. In association, we can achieve many things which otherwise alone we cannot do. So therefore, you know, coming to the temple, you know, is very, very important. Associating with devotees is very, very important. Now, any activity, spiritual activity which we perform in association is really rewarding. Alone we cannot endeavor to do anything. I'll give an example. Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu is sitting here, so, you know, I go to his house for chanting, you know, japa. So there, you know, time and again I experience the fact that single-handedly I would never be able to, you know, chant so many rounds. Unless one is in association, it's very difficult to, you know, pursue spiritual activity. So we cannot do without spiritual, you know, association. So in that Ramanand Rai Lord Chaitanya Samvad, there are some questions which Lord Chaitanya poses to Ramanand Rai. Now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself. He is the storehouse of all knowledge. He knows the past, present and future. He knows everything. Yet he tries to be in the role of a student, and he asks questions to Ramanand Rai. And Ramanand Rai also knows that he is, you know, trying to, you know, answer, give replies to questions asked by Lord Chaitanya, but he is the Supreme Lord, he knows that. But with that understanding which is there in the core of their heart, there are some samvada. So a few things I have taken from that samvada. Prabhu kahe kona vidya, vidya madhe sar, raya kahe krishna bhakti, vina vidya nahi ar. So he says that of all types of education, which is most important? Is it getting a PhD? Is it, you know, getting admission in MIT? Is it what? What is most? What is the most important vidya for which a person should struggle? This is of all the types of education, which is the most important? Ramanand Rai replied, there is no education that is important other than the transcendental service of Krishna. So this is a reply from Ramanand Rai. So any other type of education which does not lead you to the lotus feet of Krishna, does not lead you to the service of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, that education is of no consequence, of no value whatsoever. So beyond all types of material knowledge, Brahma Vidya or knowledge of the impersonal Brahman, however beyond Brahma Vidya is the knowledge of devotional service to Vishnu or Krishna, and this knowledge is higher and higher. Higher still is devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Then another question which the another question Lord Chaitanya asks. Sampatira madhye jive kona sampatti gani, Radha Krishna premayar sehi bada dhani. So he says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, of the many capitalists who possess, this capitalist word is used by Srila Prabhupada, of the many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost? Radha Krishna Premayar Sei Bada Dhani. So one who is, you know, one who is the richest is the one richest in love of Radha Krishna. He is the one is the greatest capitalist. So new definition of a capitalist. One who has love for Radha Krishna. All other dhana, all other sampatti is of no consequence. Dukkha madhe kona dukh, haya guru tara, Krishna bhakta viraha vina, dukkha nahi dekhi para. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, of all kinds of distress, which is the most powerful? So Sri Ramanand Rai replied, apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. Isn't it true? So it's only when we are separated from our, you know, association of our devotees on whom we rely so much. When we are in Krishna consciousness, when things are going nicely, we never ever realize how much dependent we are on association of devotees. We never realize it. We take things, you know, for granted. As if, you know, we are always born with so much of knowledge. No, we are not. We would have received so many kicks in life. So it is, we are so dependent on them. So apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know no unbearable unhappiness. So unbearable unhappiness, according to Ramanand Rai, is being separated from association of devotees. That is unbearable. So we have so many Vaishnava songs which talk about separation. See Anilo, Premadhana, in that we talk of separation from devotees of the Lord. So unless we have association of devotees, we really are absolutely walking alone without any hope, so to say. So it is because we have association of devotees, which we tend to take for granted. We tend to take things for granted, but because of that association, we are in a position to, you know, make progress in our spiritual life. How grateful we must be. Mukta madhe kona jiva mukta karimani Krishna prema yarasei yukta shiro mukta shiromani. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked a question. Out of all the liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? So, Ramananda Raya replied, he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. So, devotees don't care for liberation basically. Devotees, you know, don't want liberation which is without love for Krishna, which is without service for Krishna. Love for Krishna means service for Krishna. So unless that loving devotional service to Krishna is possible, even on the liberated platform, a devotee doesn't want it. He just, you know, says, I am not interested. So unless there is devotional service. So this is very, very important point which Ramananda Raya makes. And then about satsanga. Shreyo madhe kona shreya jive rahaya sar Krishna bhakta sanga vina shreya nahi ar. Out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is the best for living entity? So as they say, it's $1 million question relevant to what we are discussing. Ramananda Rai replied, the only auspicious activity is association with devotees of Krishna. What is Mangala? We talk of so many Mangala things, you know, so many things, auspicious things. But what is real auspiciousness? Real auspiciousness is when we get association of devotees. So that is height of auspiciousness. There can be so many degrees of auspiciousness. Actually, you can't quantify auspiciousness, but there may be so many levels of auspiciousness. But here it is being said, Krishna bhakta sanga vina shreya nahi ar. So there is nothing more auspicious than the association of devotees. Kahara smarana jiva karibe anukshana Krishna nama guna lila pradhana smarana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what should all living entities constantly remember? So Ramananda Raya replied, the chief object of remembrance is always the holy name of the Lord, His qualities and pastime. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is what we have to remember. Martavyam sadatam Krishna na vismartavyam jatuchit. So we should always remember, try to remember the Lord's name. And this is facilitated in association of devotees. You step out of the temple, you are in a material world, you are in the, you know, being crushed by crowd, you are being crushed by traffic, this, that. Where do you remember? But in association of devotees, you remember that you have to chant the holy names. So this way, Ramananda Raya, you know, answers some of the questions which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking actually on our behalf. These are the questions which we should be asking, but he does it compassionately, he does it for us, and Ramananda Raya gives us wonderful answers. So here in the purport that we have read, or what was discussed earlier also, that what is more important is sadhu sangha, but that sangha is extremely important. Devotional service or bhakti should be in association of devotees. Then only it will give us, truly reward us. So elsewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrut, Lord says, sadhu sangha nama kirtan bhagavata shravan mathura vasa shri murti shraddhaya sevan. So Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatana Goswami that one should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura and worship the deity with faith and veneration. So these five, you know, things are extremely important and can take us, you know, we can be on the path of, you know, back home, back to Godhead. Not that we have gone back home, back to Godhead, but we can at least try to be on the path. So these five things are important, sadhu sangha. So there are so many stories that one can talk about sadhu sangha. I think I don't have so much time. So I'd like to conclude. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any comments? And no questions? You can ask or say. I think there are some 3-4 minutes left. శ్రీమద్ భాగవత్ పురాణం కి శిల ప్రభుపాద కి.